For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What'd it do?
Would you like to hear from our friends at Legacy Supps?
Wantawa, boom. They always bring the best stuff for health supplements.
It's good this week because Nick has sent us, we have some testimonials to read about his products.
Right.
Here's one of them. I listen to Keep It 100, and whenever Nick Aldis is on, he sounds like a pompous ass.
Hey, whoa,
he's very condescending, and he doesn't like Glenn talk enough. He don't, what?
Wait a second, Disco. That's what, first off, we have new copy, so we're not doing the testimonials. And secondly, I don't remember seeing that in the copy, so I don't know where you got that from.
Oh, no, that's definitely one of the testimonials.
Are you sure?
That's a true story.
Okay.
So. All right, let me see. All right, well, let's we have our friends from Legacy Stuffs. And their products are great, and our users use a lot of it. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels have fallen in the average American male. That is not a surprise. We talk about this a lot with the rise of the soy boy culture that we see. Correct, Conan?
One that well, boom.
Yeah. So this is a major problem, as testosterone is a key to high performance in every aspect of your life, and low testosterone is also linked to depression. So it's important to make sure your body is producing an optimum amount. You choose to go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, time-consuming, and in many cases, not necessary. If you want to naturally boost your testosterone levels, it's time to check out the Ultimate Test Stack from Legacy Sports Nutrition. It's three high-quality products for the price of one. It features Test X9, T-Assist, and their bestseller, enjoy your favorite product, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer.
Yes.
You might be asking, what does a sleep aid have to do with raising testosterone? So listen to this. While the majority of daily testosterone release occurs during sleep, men with poor quality sleep experience an average of 15% reduction in testosterone levels. And after the age of 30, men's testosterone levels decrease at about 1% per year. That's why Legacy developed a total testosterone complex that covers all three areas of optimal testosterone levels. Test X9 to naturally stimulate testosterone, T-Assist to keep estrogen at bay and maintain liver health, and Recover PM to promote quality REM sleep so your body can actually release the testosterone you're working so hard to increase. Recover PM has a repeat customer rate of over 80%. That means 4 out of 5 users love it so much that they're coming back again and again, and now you can subscribe and save on all products at LegacySupps.com, so you never have to worry about running out. Try the Ultimate Test Stack for 30 days, feel the incredible difference for yourself, and because Legacy are friends of the show, you can save 10% off your entire order at LegacySubs.com by using code K100. That's LegacySupps.com. It's time to level up with Legacy, and don't forget that code K100.
Don't forget to get your Legacy subs. Get all the best for sleep aids,
testosterone, yeah,
fat burning,
testosterone,
energy,
fat burning. The one I'm thinking about, which is the most important one to me, is like memory.
Right. Yeah, you need that. But these supplements are great. Our users, our listeners, the Nick has said on the show that we're one of the top revenue streams.
Yeah.
This podcast, with the amount of people that use this product. So, you know, people are looking better. They're getting better sleep. They're increasing their testosterone levels. They're probably, you know, having better luck with the ladies. And, you know, you just look at Nick Aldis. He looks like $1 million. His wife, Mickey James, she looks like $1 million. Try their products. We do. They're fantastic.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, 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 bang.
We be thumping.
Bang, 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 bang.
Just act like you know and homie, stop fucking.
I'm through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feed up. Greased up in some dickies.
I rap a lot like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop. Straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, yo, get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
It is like Snowflake Central is wrestling now.
Yeah. The next one's from Adam Hughes. Oh, boy. The subject is The Undertaker Behind the Scenes. Hey, Conan and Joe Feeney, congrats on passing 1 million views on the Keep It 100 official YouTube page. And before you ask, yes, my podcast, It's Hugey, Hello, is available on Spreaker and iTunes. And yes, it does have a variety of guests on it. Anyway, I want to ask about Undertaker. Just recently, he dropped out of StarCast and changed his deal with an Inside the Ropes tour after tickets had already been on sale. Now, that was likely a WWE call. But there have been a lot of stories about Undertaker being a dickhead backstage, such as him working insanely stiff with Chris Kanyon, burying Mike Awesome, and really never putting anyone over who wasn't an established main event name. So, Conan, have you heard any stories about the Undertaker being a dick backstage? P.S. Disco Inferno, I think you were in Godfather's Pizza advertisement, not Godfather's. I think you were in Goodfellas Pizza advertisement, not Goodfellas a film. Okay, first of all, I was in Goodfellas and I was in the scene where the guy got beat up. Well, I never heard of Undertaker taking advantage of everybody. Did you ever hear anything about this?
This is the second brutal letter that you sent. You're suspended. Yeah. Let me tell you, I've never heard anything bad about Undertaker ever. And especially from like Ray and some of the people in the locker room that I talk with, they've always spoke very highly of him. And every time I've met Undertaker, he's always been very nice.
This next one's from AC Free. Subject is TV shows. Enjoy the Game of Thrones talk across the show, YouTube, and Patreon. Along those lines, they say Oz and The Sopranos started this new era of smarter, more adult TV shows on HBO, AMC, FX, Netflix, and so on. For all you guys, what are your favorite TV shows in that vein since HBO changed everything? Sopranos, definitely. So Oz and Sopranos. Those are my first two kind of really favorite shows that started that genre of, like, you know, of like good storytelling.
I'll tell you mine, and not in any particular order. Sopranos, Deadwood, The Wire, Breaking Bad, and, bro, The Shield. Those are, like, my five favorite ones.
Let me tell you, too, though. This is why those shows were so great, okay? Because they had strong character development. Like, on Oz, there was, like, a different – every inmate was a different – you know, they had, like, a –
a black Muslim. They had a black gangster. They had a an Irish bomber. They had a they had like so many different characters that would be identified by your ethnicity and by the actions that you made that they could you could write so much TV. Same thing with The Sopranos. Each guy had kind of like his own character quirks that would interact. Like, remember when they had like when Sopranos went that deal when they had the one guy who turned out he was gay. Yeah, he was like a closet gay guy. Okay. You know, it's
bro,
like
how funny was it when remember he had like a son that turned out to be like gay too, I think, right?
Yeah, just a lot of depth to the characters.
One of my favorite parts, because this is one of my favorite New York words, was the guy was like, I think he was wearing makeup. You probably know this because you're a bigger Soprano fan than me, Joe. The kid was wearing makeup. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, Vito's son kind of turned goth after he was killed. Yeah.
Right, gothic, right. So the other guy is telling him, he goes, hey, man, you know, he goes, you know, your dad's dead. I think he'd already been killed or whatever. He goes, yeah, he goes, you're better than that. And the kid's eating an ice cream. He's like, so what? You know, he's kind of being a dick. He goes, what's up with all that makeup? He goes, you look like a Puerto Rican hooer. I love the word hooer. Okay, let me just throw that out there right there.
Yeah, hooer.
Do you remember
they
that joke?
Was,
that was the guy from Goodfellas, actually, that passed away, played that character. He was like the bad guy at the end. I can't remember his fucking name of him.
Because you look like a Puerto Rican hoopa. Yeah. I was like, that's awesome.
But
you're right. Great characters, great character development, and strong characters, you know. But who are you going to say, Joe?
Sopranos, 6 Feet Under, like was one of those original HBO shows. I don't think it gets enough love, really. Had a great ending. Deadwood, all HBO shows, but then you got Breaking Bad and Mad Men that were on AMC, and they're both fantastic.
Can I ask you a question? Did you ever see The Shield?
No, and I was just going to say that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
The tough cop guy that was a really good character.
Yeah, but he's crooked, he's racist, he don't give a fuck, he steals from people, and it's L.A., really gritty, the streets, like shit that you'd really hear on the street, not some made-up writing bullshit.
Yeah.
Very well done, bro.
And then does
his name, Vic. Think his name.
Glenn Close shows up as his rival or something at one point, right?
Yeah, bro. It's excellent.
I got to buy the whole set.
If anybody's never seen that, binge at it, I guarantee you, and then tell me about it. Boom.
The next one's from Adrian Escamilla. The subject is Triple Threat Idea. Hello, fellas. I've been checking out the Viceland Dark Side of the Ring documentaries, which are great. All This Miss is the one with appearances by Disco and Conan, just like Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories. If so, the episode should be called Dark Side of the Ring, The Savage Emasculation of KG. The question I had was in regards to the finish for the Montreal Screwjob. After watching that episode, I had an idea for the finish. I think Owen Hart should have competed against Shawn and Bret as a wild card at the 97 Survivor Series in a triple threat match, with Owen winning the title. This could have been the solution for Bret to drop the belt, leave the WWF on good terms, raising Owen's arm, sort of pass the torch to his brother, plus it was taking place in Canada. Seems like a win-win for Bret. Maybe it would have possibly delayed or even prevented the Mr. McMahon character. Maybe Owen wouldn't have resorted back to the Blue Blazer gimmick. Do you guys think this could have worked? I don't know, because I heard Bret was turning down everything and didn't want to lose in Canada.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, right. Well, he told me the story, and the one
Bret
thing he
did?
Was – yeah, Bret told me the story. So he was telling me that you know, that he had gotten into the fight with Shawn Michaels and all that, and that he had told him once, he had said, you know what, I'm not giving you the belt back, you know. Mm-hmm. And
I'm not going to put you over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. And so he went and he told Vince, and then Shawn denied that he ever said it. And so there was real, real heat between them. Plus the other thing that Bret was telling me is he said, I didn't mind losing the belt. I just wasn't going to lose it in Canada. Now, if you've ever been to Canada and, you know, like, I've been there when Bret Hart was still active. Like, he's a superhero, man. Like, huge, and not just in Canada. Like, in foreign countries that we would go to, like, they really looked at him as a super idol. And in Canada, he's like a god. And he was like, I'm not going to lose in Canada, anywhere else but Canada. That was his whole gripe more than anything. So he was willing to lose it, but he didn't want to lose it in Canada.
Right.
Yeah.
Next one's from P. Alberto Sanchez. Mailbag question. Conan and Disco. Can't say I'm a day one listener, but I shouted you guys out as the only wrestling podcast I listened to straight through. I've become a massive fan of as of late. And as much as it pains me to say it or pains you guys to hear it, Hugh G uploading the clips on YouTube is what got me listening. To continue putting you over, it's refreshing to hear people disagree on things without being disagreeable. You can disagree without jeopardizing friendships. We need more of that. My question is simple. When people label a wrestler an internet darling, is that dismissive of the talent of the people who believe in that wrestler? Every time I hear that term used, it's always presented in a tone that's almost as though it's an insult. Thanks again for the great content. It is kind of it's not so much an insult, but what an internet darling means, he is getting over with the fan base. But to me, the internet darlings are just another this is awesome guys. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody talks about a character driven guy as like an internet darling. They look at that guy, you know, but like guys that just go out there and do good spots and have good matches and get this is awesome chance, and but they look like they do it kind of like everybody else. It's just like, you know.
What do you think about that?
If you remember, one of the first things that really held back Punk was that sort of label, the internet darling, the Ring of Honor guy, the indie guy, you know.
Right.
Did you guys remember a guy named Reckless Youth?
Yeah.
He was like the first guy like that, and nothing ever really came of it. He did a little Ring of Honor stuff, whatever, but he was like the first guy I remember, and like the term internet darling was like just started around when he was like the first
guy. That's wild, because I was Santana from LAX was telling, like, yeah, I heard him, but I never really saw him. He goes, oh no, man, and he was dope. I mean, he was the guy, like when he was starting, you know, on the indie scene. But I was like, well, I don't really know much about him, because I think he was mostly in the Northeast, correct?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's why I didn't know shit about him. But I almost feel like internet darling is almost like a backhanded compliment. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you know, but I, you know, some of those internet darlings become stars. A lot of them are flavor of the month.
It's basically a prejudiced way of saying, like, you know, the internet darling is like kind of like people that work on the big stage be like, well, he wouldn't get over up here though. That's to say, like, okay, the guy's over on the indies, but he wouldn't get over up here.
Without giving the guy a chance out.
Yeah, yeah, it's right. Like saying, like, it's kind of a dismissive way. But I will say this about the thing about hearing people disagree on things without being disagreeable.
Yeah.
I came to epiphany on a major this week. I would actually like either Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg, one of these guys, to win to become the president. Because I think with Trump, I've noticed that over the past like two to three years, it's like people that are friends are kind of almost not even becoming friends anymore. If one person likes Trump and the other person doesn't, have you? Wow. I love
this awakening in you.
But listen,
when you're noticing it,
it was never like this with Obama. Like when Obama was president,
because he wasn't divisive, bro. That's part of whole Trump's MO. It's been brilliant all along, bro. He took advantage of something that people weren't talking about. Nobody was noticing. The white man in his own country felt like everybody's attacking me. Latins are attacking me. Women are attacking me. Gays, because he had power for so long and he abused it and he didn't understand what was going on. And, oh, there's no real racism. There's no real sexism. And all these people were finally dumping shit on a lot of people that had nothing to do with this. And it's like, he's been very, you know, he's talked to those people that felt that way. Like, you know, this is my country and fuck, I'm losing it to immigrants and all that. He stoked those fires, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I've never seen, you know, I'm too young to remember Kennedy or some of those other presidents in my lifetime, but I've never seen any president, not even close to the divisiveness that he's done in the United States.
I wouldn't mind Biden just because he probably wouldn't hear from him much. He just, you know, and we could.
I don't want Biden as a president, but
I'm just saying we'd go on with our lives. Right. You know, the president really doesn't do much to us or affect anything.
This guy really has. And the thing is like, bro, I just want somebody to make this country better, not somebody just to coast by and nobody has problems. And I don't really know who that is right now. You know, I like some of the stuff that Bernie Sanders is talking about, because I like free health care. I like the college tuition. I like a lot of that. I know we have to pay for it. Guess what? Cut that fucking military budget in the middle. I think we have 16 of the next combined countries together don't spend as much on military as we do. We don't need to be the policemen of the fucking world. Take all that money and rebuild the infrastructure of this country. Rebuild your country. You know, bring back the middle class. You know, the rich have really, they've been very greedy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Just a real quick one here. This is from Stacey Williams. The subject is DI. Very disappointing, DI. Offered some constructive advice last week to enhance the experience of keeping 100. You responded with name-calling profanity. I expect better from a gentleman that could get a disco gimmick over. Almost classy since 1970, Stacey Williams. Fuck off.
Oh,
wow.
That's my response
holy
to that.
Holy shit.
All right, so the next one is from ECWW Wrestling. The subject is Max Moon in Japan. Greetings. Your podcast is the best, and music collections are the cream of the crop. I was looking at some old wrestling results and found a 1994 match in Japan where Max Moon teamed with Black Tiger, I'm pretty sure this was Eddie Guerrero, and Two Cold Scorpio against El Samurai, Jushin Liger, and Akira Nogami. My question is, was this Conan or somebody else wrestling as Max Moon?
Who's this from?
Robert Murillo.
Murillo. No, that wasn't me, because when I went to New Japan, I didn't go as Max Moon. So I'm assuming it was Paul Diamond, because he's the only other guy that...
He did Max Moon. That's right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, next one's from Robert Schmidt. Subject, Smoking Greet Part 2. Hey, this is Robert from Payson, Arizona again. Day one listener, longtime fan of Conan, becoming a fan of disco. I got two questions for Conan.
It's taken him 4 years to become a fan of yours.
So you said you were down with some Iranian goods with me. So my question is indica or sativa? Got to know what to bring. Also, what do you like, Joe? We can answer that one first.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
You're a big pot smoker.
No, I mean, I got my pen around here somewhere, but I don't really know
much. I would like to
much.
Say that you're not that big of a pot smoker, because when we went outside to smoke, you did not come out in a real cannabis smoker would have come out with me in LAX, just if anything, just to say that you did it. Because
yeah.
I don't think we've ever smoked before.
No. Although I knew the guy was looking for you, and then somehow the wires got crossed, and I didn't know you guys went out, but I may have. But I don't know. I don't know enough about it to even comment. I just have my pen. I have what my guy brings me, and that's it. I'll be like, do you want this or this? This is good for creativity and anxiety, this is good for sleep, whatever, but I don't know shit about sativa or anything. Like, I'm way
right. It looks more like you just want to fucking watch TV and just chill out.
Yeah. Sleep
sativa so you can be more functional.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, bro, let me tell you, even though there's a shit now here in California called Gorilla Glue that's fucking off the hook. And you know who hooked me up with that? My godson. Bro, at the end of the day, whether it's sativa, indica, hybrid, whatever it is, shatter, fucking dabs, it all gets me high. So whatever you throw, I'm down for. So go ahead.
The next question is, I met Damian Drake from FSW. Great guy. Awesome working punch. Damian Drake.
You know kid from TJ.
Yeah, okay. I met Damian Drake from FSW. Great guy. Awesome working punch. He told me he owes it all to disco. I did tease pun. One of the guys I trained.
Did you train him?
Yeah, I helped train him. Absolutely.
Bro, he's real good.
Yeah, I know. I told you, like, bro, there's like six or seven guys. There's six or seven guys at FSW that could definitely easily go to NXT right now and be as good as any
that other guy. That other guy, his partner Vandenberg or whatever. He's good too.
Yeah.
That kid Chris Bay is good.
Oh, great. Yes. And bro, Chris Bay's young.
Yeah,
no, he's young. He doesn't have a lot of time in this business. You know? So yeah, there's a lot of good guys down there. I'm telling you, I trained and worked with some talented guys in FSW. You know, I was wondering how often he's going to be working in AAA. He was at a local indie show here and stole the first half of the show. Want to see more of him in action? You can't answer that.
Well, he'll be in Tijuana on all my shows from here on out, and then when he's ready, we'll bring him to AAA. You know, to the big team. But he'll be in Tijuana, AAA. Yeah.
Nice, good. Yeah. It's good for him to hear, probably. I'm sure he's a listener to the show, too, by the way.
Yeah.
The next one is from – this is kind of weird. Oh, it's from Mike Durbin. Hey now, Conan and D.I. equal – hey
does
now,
he have his own show, too?
On Russo,
yeah, the Mike
on Russo,
Durbin
on
show,
Russo's
right?
brand,
what
yeah.
This is a bizarre email.
Wait. He's not on your network?
No, he's on Russo's brand. Yeah.
Russo's brand.
Russo's brand. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hey now, D.I. – This is a weird thing. He keeps putting equals 20 on this. I don't know what this means, but hey now, Countin and DI equals 20. How would you rate my t-shirt designs versus creative control shirts equals 20? I don't know what that means. Also, can you release an updated cartoon K100 shirt with the great producer JoJo Feeney and remove that traitor Helms, please? So Mike Durbin sent me a t-shirt. Right. Yeah, I'm going to sell it as StarCast.
Is it the one with his little cartoon guy on it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say that design is definitely better than the Creative Control t-shirt. Because I want to sell this. All right, so it's definitely better than any shirt you got, Joe. So if you, unfortunately, definitely buy the Mike Durbin shirt. It's going to have my
autograph.
Even
the much sought-after and best-selling wrestling one with a beer can in front of like a wrestling ring or whatever the fuck it is.
And,
yeah.
And we do have a new graphic. And right. Shane Helms has been expunged from the graphic. Thank God. let me see here. So the next one's from Daniel. Subject is the Lucha Brothers and Tag Teams. Hi, Conan, Disco, and JoJo. My name is Dan. I'm a history teacher from Manchester, England. Love the show, and I probably listen to the decimation of KG at the hands of the mayor of Moldavia, Cyrus, on a weekly basis.
People love that.
So does Martitude. So does Marty too. He loves listening to that too. Yeah, the episode where Cyrus where we play for Kevin on our show, where Cyrus eviscerates KG, him and Lance, and we play it, and then
we eviscerate
KG,
him.
And then we just ask KG. That's one of the best. That might
not
be
only that, bro. But here's the thing: for 6 weeks after that, this is the thing that you have to do. You have to listen to the show for 6 weeks, because for 6 weeks we bust his balls, and finally he explodes one day, and he goes, "Well, fuck, you know, you guys keep bringing it up. You've been busting my balls for 6 weeks," and I go, "It's been that long, bro. We busted his nuts 6 weeks straight."
Yeah, 6 weeks.
So those are great too. So don't miss out if you're gonna get the whole experience, the whole KG experience. Don't miss out on that.
This is from a few weeks ago, I guess. But he said he saw the Lucha Brothers versus LAX in an independent show in Manchester. I guess they wrestled each other in England.
Yeah, they did.
Easily the best match live I've ever seen. The roof came off the place. My question is, who would you rate as the best tag teams of all time? A top three, please, would be great. Cheers, guys. Keep it 100. I listen to your podcast and I'm running. Did a marathon last week, and your podcast kept me focused for the first 2 hours of the run. Awesome. Wow, well, maybe one day if you listen to our podcast, you'll actually win. So my top three of all time, number one, the Midnight Express. Okay.
Right.
Number two, this is a team that wasn't really together that much, but I used to watch them together, to study the way they work. Cause I liked the thing was Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson, the Brain Bust, when they were the Brain Busters in WWE.
Right.
And, number three, just because I was a huge mark for them would be the Road Warriors.
All right. You, Joe?
Top three tag teams, Hart Foundation, Steiner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I would have said Arn and Tully, but I'll say RVD and Sabu.
I mean, RVD and Sabu, definitely. Are you the top three of all time?
Well, you
got to remember, he's an
ECW
fan.
So. Yeah. But what about you, Joe? What about you, Conan?
This one's a little bit biased, but they were great.
Eddie and Art.
Eddie and Art.
Right.
There were these Mexican guys that they used to wrestle in the LA Olympic. I used to watch them when I was a little kid, that I loved them. They were called Gorman and Goliath. Gorman and Goliath. They were great because this is what they used to do back then. It was from the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles. And I used to love this. I used to love when a guy would be backstage on a promo and he'd get attacked backstage. And that was their specialty. Yeah, I'm going to kill Gorman again. Gorman collides with me. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah.
And then they were like, you know, back then I'd never seen this. So I actually popped. Now it's been overdone. But I remember the two ring announcers. They were called Miguel Alonso and Luis Magaña. And they were super over, like think two Jim Rosses, okay? They were super over, really loved by the fan, and it was one of their birthdays, and they brought a birthday cake, and of course, Gorman and Goliath, you know, threw the cake in his face, and you know, put the boots to him, to like this little announcer, which I thought was great heat, you know. So Gorman and Goliath, Gorman and Goliath, them. Who would be the third one? I liked a lot. Believe it or not, when they were called the Islanders. Remember Haku and Tonga?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like them a lot.
Samoan SWAT team I used to like back in WCW.
When Punk was their manager.
Yes. I used to like them.
Ruthless.
Doom. Yeah. Ron Simmons and Butch Reed when they were Doom. It wasn't very long, but they were awesome.
Right.
They looked imposing too, yeah.
All right. The next one I'm going to read, I don't know why I'm reading this guy, but I'll read it.
All right.
It's from Mike Holder.
All right. Very nice.
Friend of the show. We ring announced.
Not a friend of Mayor. No. Very disrespectful.
You haven't sent any, Mike. Might be getting heat soon.
Subject is questions and observations. Greetings from Sin City. Got a few questions for all of you, but Disco, please join KG in that empty room that Cyrus left him in. Number one, if you have one movie, one TV show, one book to partake on an extended flight or road trip, what would they be? Number two, if 45 doesn't win a second term, who would you like to see president? Thanks for the content, guys, as always. You guys are the best podcast in the game today. P.S., Just an observation, but Disco, with regards to the Mass Republic Minute, stop abusing and insulting Kleinrock. The numbers are in, from my sources. When Kleinrock starts talking, the segment rates 4 stars. When Conan starts talking, it jumps to 7 stars. However, when Disco starts talking, the segment plummets to -5 stars. Maybe we should mute you during the segment like KG was during Vince Russo. Just a thought. I'm all for that. I'll drown out during the Mass Republic Minute. I'll go get a beer.
Bro, how funny is that?
You know,
Vince Russo came on the show, and we haven't had him on in a long time.
Yeah, right.
We should bring him back too. But he actually had requested that he be muted during the interview, and he was. Remember? That was awesome.
That was a great segment.
He also Vince telling KG he was a disgrace to the Juggalos for being too much.
That was great.
Might be one of the greatest moments on our show. Yeah. One movie, one TV show, one book. None of them. I sleep on planes. An airplane for me is a strictly. I sleep. I don't do anything but sleep on planes. I don't read. I don't do nothing.
All right, but just pick one just to answer the question.
One movie?
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame, because I haven't seen it.
Right.
One TV show would be Breaking Bad. I still got to watch 4 seasons of that.
Oh, wow.
And one book, The Death of WCW by Brian Alvarez and those guys. I haven't read that yet. I want to read it because I want to see if there's any inaccuracies in that thing, because I was in the booking room during a lot of that stuff that they were talking about. So what about you?
Well, read it and let me know so we can bring him back. Yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
I want to read the new Howard Stern book coming out next week. It's been a long time since Howard had a book. I think that's going to be very interesting. Movie, 25th Hour or True Romance. TV show.
25th Hour, I don't know that one. What is that?
Spike Lee movie with Ed Norton and Philip Seymour Hoffman, Barry Pepper. It's about a drug dealer in New York that's about to go in and do his time. It's his last night out in the town with his boys. And
when was this?
2002. It actually, they used 9/11 as a backdrop kind of thing too. It had just happened in the story, so it was the first movie to address it. Really, very good. Spike's got some good stuff, but that was really good. TV show Mad Men or Sopranos.
All right, probably movie The Godfather. Never get tired of watching that, and the TV series, bro. Just about anything. I'm very. I like a lot of stuff and books. I love to read, so just about anything. I couldn't tell you one thing. Go ahead.
Okay, the next one's got a couple interesting questions that I won't be able to answer, but you guys probably can. It's from Brandon Locke, and the subject is Mafia and Other Gangs. Was watching the history of the Mafia on YouTube, and a few questions came to mind. Disco, having ties in the mean streets of Brooklyn and now residing and working in Las Vegas, do you have any stories about dealing with organized crime folks? Is that still a big thing in Vegas? First of all, I grew up in the mean streets of Marietta, Georgia, and there was no organized crime there. In Vegas, neither. No. So my answer is no. Conan, I've heard you mention stories about gangs in Cali and Mexico before. What's the most violent or dangerous situation you've ever seen involving a gang or a gang member?
I've seen so much stuff, but I will tell you this, that I've been in the dressing room before when cartel members, and I've seen this happen twice in AAA, where they came in, you know, whiskey masks with their guns, and they walked through the dressing room. They went straight to where the money was, and they were like, yo, you need to give us money, and anytime that you want to come back to the city, you need to pay us. Very tense, very scary. Wasn't violent, You know, I've seen violent shit, but that was very tense and very scary to see that go down, you know.
Okay, Joe, jokes aside, Philadelphia's always had a well-known mob presence, biker gangs too. Have you ever dealt with either back in your days of a bar scrappery that you claim you're a big bar brawler, supposedly?
Oh, man. So I hung out in an Irish bar in South Philly, not too far from East W Arena, actually, right around the corner. And
what a scumbag area that is.
you would have liked this place. And I was young. I was like 20, 21. Some of the guys I was hanging out with were 19, 20, so they could get in down there. Of course, they didn't card. And it was an Irish bar, and we got really cool with the bartender. And he kept suggesting to us and wanted us to come to this like Irish group like meeting where like you would just, you know, hang out, drink, whatever. But it was after the bars were closed. And we were supposed to go the following Monday, and I remember talking to someone else who hung out there, and he's like, you know, that's an IRA supporter group you're about to go to and hang out. I was like, no, didn't really quite know that. So we didn't wind up going, but yeah, so I was close to becoming an IRA supporter unknowingly in South Philly. So
okay, that's not the story they want to hear. You needed to say that you went there. They wanted you to be an IRA supporter. You called the guy out. You know, you went outside. You may or may not have stabbed them under the condition you were in or something like that, but your stories need to have a little bit more interesting ending.
Never
let the guy. Go ahead.
The next one's from Frank Gonzalez. Subject is Russo. Hola, K-Dog, the world-famous DI and the founder of the Credit Control Network, Mr.
That's hola. The H is silent.
Hola. Have a question on our boy Vincent Russo. What was the mindset of the boys when you guys found out that Vince Russo was joining WCW? What's your opinion on the overall job he did with WCW? We were very excited because we knew he was going to – the reason they were bringing him in was to come and get the mid-card guys over. So we thought he was going to be coming in like helping us all out. He was just derailed from the get-go there by the politics. So do you have another answer to that besides that going in?
Yeah, probably exactly the same thing. Yeah, exactly the same thing. And then the bad part is that – you know, he's a very emotional guy, so he took a lot of that very hard and, you know, lashed out. And I remember at one time they fired him, and then he came back, remember? Or he quit. He was always threatening to quit. Yeah. But, you know, he went in there, and Eric had, like, his guys who were not going to listen to what Vince said. You know, Vince wanted to push the young cats. The older guard felt threatened. Then they didn't when I remember that, like, some of the top guys had to start putting over some of these younger guys, and they didn't want to, and they weren't cooperative, and they were very difficult to work with. So you're absolutely correct with that. He was derailed from the moment he came in.
Okay. Joe, I refuse to read the next one from Jose Sanchez. If you'd like to read it, you can go ahead.
Sure. He's a multiple-time mailbag contributor.
Yeah, I refuse to read this.
Let me see.
Is that the guy's from Queens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't he send a song once?
He may have. He's definitely been on some roundtables. Hey, K100. As usual, I will start by praising all the thought-provoking conversations and good old-fashioned ball-busting. Anyone who isn't on Patreon should sign up. Best money spent. I've been hearing all the disrespect being thrown at Disco, and I'm going to draft a formal apology for all the offenders to sign. In it, all the offenders will apologize for Crime 1, referring to Disco as a bum, louse, bugle beak, Kermit the Frog, dweeb, misogynist, imbecile, mental deficient, ignorant, deadbeat dad, and anything else in the category of disrespectful. Crime 2, insinuating that Disco feeds himself at a soup kitchen, performs hand jobs to supplement his income, partakes in various sexual escapades in Sapphire's glory hole, and looks like the love child of Patrick Dempsey and Steve Carell after hitting rock bottom. Crime 3, eliciting and partaking in slanderous and defamatory chants such as Disco sucks and fuck Disco. I would like to ask Conan if he would like to volunteer to sign this first. P.S. Joe, my buddy Cody Mills would like to remind you that you suck. Jose from Queens, New York. Cody Mills' band is terrible.
Do you want to sign?
No, I'm not going to sign nothing, Jose. All right, and that's pretty depressing. The Latino is sticking up for this racist alt-right bum. So no, absolutely.
No, he's not sticking up for bro. He was
Well, yeah,
he's sounds like he's backhanded yeah. compliment.
Well, I will sign that then.
Jesus.
Disco, did you see how quick I turned?
Yeah. He called me a racist bum. Yeah, you just called me an alt-right racist bum. The next one's from Spider D. Where have all the stables gone? Good day from the top of Australia. It's me, Spider D again. Who? I'd stopped writing letters to give the other jabronis a chance, but I'm back. One thing I loved back in the day was stables such as the Heenan family, the NWO, Corporate Ministry, DX, etc. How come no one uses them anymore? They're always successful, even for a short while. Considering how much talent our JoJo Dutch on the mic, you'd think Vinnie Mac would want more manager roles. Conan, please use your legend status to persuade Disco to give peppermint chop chip and coconut handjobs to Sapphire for a week, and I might fly over. JoJo's over huge. Get your Disco Camels boom. Dion Spider D. Schuler, Cairns, Queensland, Australia. They do have factions now. They've got the Undisputed Era. Which is an atrocious name.
How about that thing on Raw where they put Icy Hot in the trunks and these guys were like, how ridiculous was that?
They're trying to bury him. I guess they're not signing the contract.
Okay, but still, that's still bad TV. Bury him some other fucking way. Come on. That's – keep on.
The next one is from Suleiman Bokhari. Subject is question for the guys. Hi, Disco and Conan. I hope you guys are well, and I want to say I'm enjoying the channel a lot. My question is, what was the reasoning for the formation of the LWO, and if anyone actually believed it could be successful? Kind regards.
Believe it or not, I was actually first told about the LWO of all people by Jason Hervey. I think at that time, wasn't he working there with Eric?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of helping him out, whatever. Anyway, so he was the first one that brought it up to me. But he didn't know that Nash was going to put me in the NWO. And I was like, bro, I don't think I'm going to be able to be the leader of the LWO because I think, you know, I'm going to do this. And then when I did join the NWO, they picked Eddie, which I'm glad they did because that was the very first time Eddie was able to show some real personality, some real depth of character, some real comedic chops and all that, and some real good promo stuff. So, you know, so that's basically what happened. And the LWO was almost a concept like the Filthy Animals Disco in that they were like, all right, we got all these Mexicans. We really don't know what to do with them, so we'll just put them together. Mm-hmm. And that was the LWO. And the Filthy Animals was the same thing. We felt like, all right, since you're not going to do nothing with any of us, think about this. This is who they weren't doing anything with. Disco, me, Billy Kidman, Tori, Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero and Juventud, right? Mm-hmm. They weren't doing nothing with us in Tigress, but she was a dancer. And so we were like, well, if you're not going to do nothing with us, just put us together and do nothing with us together. At least we'll have fun, you know, and that's really how they put together Filthy Animals. But LWO was mostly the same thing. We got all these guys. Let's do something with them. So they just started that group.
The next one is from Travis Whitney. Subject is, who's the real world champ? Yo, guys, which heavyweight wrestling championships are you currently giving world status to? Is there any particular order in terms of importance? For me, it's MLW, NWO, ROH, WWE. I'm willing to say that Filthy Tom is the undisputed world heavyweight wrestling champion. Thanks, Travis. This is like this is like a Mark question.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, I'm not even going to answer that. That's like,
how would you answer that, Joe?
thank you. I would say just the WWE champion, right? I mean, you remember back in the day when I was young in the PWI magazines, there would be a big deal of that. There was the NWA world champion, the AWA world champion, and right. Then they weren't working with WWF, so they would just recognize.
And they used to have, if you remember, they used to have the rankings like 1 through 10 for AWA, NWA. Yeah. And what was WWF back then, yeah.
But, like, WWF cut off access. So they would recognize the NWA and the AWA as world champions, and they would recognize Hulk Hogan as just the WWF champion. He wasn't a world champion because he didn't travel. The NWA and AWA did, blah, blah. I just remember that was a big deal when I was a kid. But today, you know, just WWE, I guess, if you, you know, would recognize any of them, right? Who else really travels worldwide right now?
All right. The next one's from Mike Holder again.
What?
But we got 2 weeks worth of mailbag questions for doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The subject is NFL question. Okay, what's good, guys? So, as a New York Giants fan, that's fantastic that he's a Giants fan. He deserves to be a Giants fan. I've been having arguments with other Giants fans on our number 6th pick in the draft, quarterback Daniel Jones. While quarterback Dwayne Haskins was available and so many great defensive ends, etc., they chose Jones, who was predicted a pick from 23rd to 59. Some say race was to play, to which I agree to an extent. Here's my question for you guys. Do you think a black quarterback with Jones' stats, 52 DCs in 3 years, despite Haskins having 50 in 1 year, will be drafted number 6 overall? Do you think race played a part of the decision to draft Jones? When you use buzzwords like professional quarterback, intelligent federal quarterback, and Jones, does the New York GM saying Haskins isn't an intelligent and professional quarterback? Would love to hear your thoughts. I truly enjoy the podcast. Looking forward to every weekly episode. Keeps getting better and better, especially since the bitch made ass to mouth Pennywise aardvark snowflake KG is gone. Conan is a man. Jojo the Philly businessman is keep the ship steady. And Disco, well, I hear the tomato and cucumbers and gazpacho hand jobs are amazing. Keep up the good work. Bugle Beak from 3 to 5 a.m. at Sapphires. Jesus. Boom. That, bro, that, let me tell you. NFL teams are not – bro, NFL teams, there's no race in question with the number one pick. All right, the guy, like, there's been plenty. Like, if you're sitting there saying that you think the Giants are racist because they didn't draft Dwayne Haskins, all right, there's been tons of African-American quarterbacks drafted in the NFL that have been very good. So it's like nobody's looking at black quarterbacks and saying, oh, these guys can't play, because there's tons of them that are doing that. They're look at Patrick Mahomes. So no, I say no. You're trying to make a racial thing out of this where it doesn't exist. Teams are
but
not.
But he isn't the only one. Isn't there certain people doing that too?
He's mimicking Chris Carter. What Chris Carter said. He's just
right.
Like, you know,
Chris Carter said that. That's
Chris
right.
Chris Carter said that. Says, come on, this is, bro, NFL teams are not investing. You know, I mean, the guy probably had a good workout and stuff. Everything like you think they brought, like, you know, hey, we're not gonna hire no black quarterbacks, especially with like Deshaun Watt. But Patrick Holmes just won the MVP. Like, you think the teams are actually looking at black quarterbacks and saying, like, oh, we don't want MVPs? Come on, that's ridiculous. I'd say 0%. What would you say, Conan?
Bro, there's 32 different teams. That's 30. I just can't think. Even though, like I said before, you know, the thing with Kaepernick, there was a racial component to it. And we have heard, like, the guy from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Khan, said, I've been in a room with 80-year-old billionaires, and you'd be surprised the racist shit they say. I think that, you know, the owner isn't the one picking the players anyways. But still, I just don't think that. Obviously, one guy has better numbers than the other, but, you know, they could – maybe he fits their system better. You know what I'm saying? We'll find out. I mean, the Giants are going to get destroyed if Haskins goes to Washington, who I think Snyder had drafted up for, right?
Yeah, didn't traded he? Up for.
Yeah, traded up for. If Haskins has a great year and this other guy doesn't, then they're really going to get it. But I don't think there's a racial component to it. Yeah. I really don't.
No. The next is from Chad Hardy Michael. Subject: the Mighty Mighty DI looks long, but it's a quick read. All right. Before I get into this, I have to ask Conan for a favor. Allow a message like this to pass through one time, this time, because I never thought I would say this. I never knew I would have these feelings. I'm so confused now in my body and mind. I can't be the only guy that feels like this. Disco, I was listening to you on Vince's show when you were recording from Atlanta, and it hit me. This guy is right. Not just right, but he's wise. You bring insight to every show you're on, and I admire the shit out of you for sticking to your beliefs. You're kind of like the president, like Trump. You ain't scared to bury anybody. He doesn't go to the correspondence dinner with the media because they hate him. You didn't go to the Jericho cruise because everyone hated you. Trump won't go to CNN, and you won't go on Hughie's Hello, By the Way show. I don't blame either of you for that. The closest people to you love to hear you get buried and made fun of, just like the people who work with Trump. I'm going to get buried for this email, I know, but today I take my stand and I become great and go against the norm, go against the grain, and believe in something that no one else in the world does. If wrestling was a religion, you would be on the level of the great prophets. There was Moses, John the Baptist, Muhammad, Buddha, and now the Disco Inferno, the prophet of pro wrestling. Oh. In parentheses, he puts, Kazoo will be entered here, I know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Anyone who disagrees is welcome to tweet me at he who. That's HEEHEEWHOO. So if you want to tweet at that guy right now after reading this,
you could get a bigger pop if he would have put wee woo.
That guy's spot on.
He had like three first names. What was his name?
Something Michael, was it? Let me see.
Chad Hardy Michael.
Chad Hardy Michael. I'm going on his Twitter right now at he who. Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what you said. Guys all about.
It says no results for at hee who.
Really?
Yeah, unless it's just this one says it had two O's, but there's one with three O's. Maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe that's the one.
Maybe.
You can call me King. Ugh, I don't know. Maybe.
Who's this guy?
You can call me King. You know what I love about my life? Every single thing. Hashtag Patriot, hashtag USA, hashtag Trump supporter, hashtag Republican, hashtag Black, hashtag Engaged, hashtag...
Okay, send them a God bless our president. Disco, just send them that tweet. God bless our president.
His location is Trump Tower, the 72nd
floor. And then hashtag MAGA.
Well, the guys, people think that I'm like I'm the Donald Trump of wrestling.
I don't know if this is the guy. But
yeah,
maybe.
There are a lot of...
That probably is him because he's talking about Trump. All right, so the next one, that was from Adam Hughes.
I didn't like that one. Again?
Wow. Why did you not like that one?
Well, he's... comparing you to the great Buddha and the prophet Muhammad, come on, that's getting a little bit out there.
The subject is Rey Mysterio versus AJ Styles. Hey, chaps. It's Conan's friend Huji again with another...
Oh, you're not my friend. Wait a minute. Didn't we just suspend him?
Yeah, he got suspended about an hour ago.
Go ahead.
Well, yes, yeah, for a right. stupid question. If this is a, I guarantee you this. If this is a stupid question,
it's about Rey Mysterio, so we have to get because you might. All right, let's ask it. So I think it's fair to say that one of WWE's genuine problems is that they lack truly huge matches with their male roster, apart from Rey Mysterio versus AJ Styles, which to most people is considered a true dream match. My question is, do you guys think the WWE has a sense to save it for a big pay-per-view like SummerSlam or WrestleMania, or do you think that they might end up blowing it for free on TV on a B-level event network special? P.S. Would Conan, Crazy Eddie, or Disco ever be interested in doing a live Q&A on the YouTube channel? Don't worry, Disco. I will not blow the question that will change podcasting forever. It will all come from subscribers. P.P.S. KG farts blood. All right. They'd put AJ and Ray on. Bro, they just jobbed. They were jobbing out Ray in WrestleMania and stuff. And that's not like they're not. What are they doing with Ray?
He's got a rematch.
He's going against Joe and Money in the Bank.
Yeah, he's got a rematch with Joe.
Rematch?
Yeah.
The match went 1 minute.
Yeah, but which by the way, is the same yeah, night as the.
That's a weird match to have a rematch for. You know, usually like a professional wrestling, you beat a guy 1 minute, you went on to the next guy, right?
Right.
It's like, I don't know.
They will put it on. Oh, if they were smart, they'd put it on their first episode of Fox TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When are they starting on Fox, by the way?
September, right? It's in the fall.
Oh, is that
September, October?
I think AEW might be starting on Turner in October.
the next pay per view, I would say, are we going to do a roundtable? But that airs the same night as the Game of Thrones finale. And for God's sakes, I'm not going to be watching.
Does it really?
Money in the Bank over the.
I will say I
finale.
Thought this week's, and we'll talk about it later, this week's Game of Thrones was way much better than the last week, but go ahead.
I didn't see it yet. Oh. All right. Next one's from Eric Tobin. Subject is AEW versus WWE. Hey, K-Dog and DI. People say that AEW get a TV deal, possibly on TNT, will push the WWE to produce a better product. Would you argue that when the WCW-WWF were the midst of the Monday Night War, that the only reason that this we've already talked about this topic repeatedly.
Yeah, we did.
All right, so I'm going to skip this email. Uh-huh. The next one, here we go. The next one's from P. Alberto Sanchez. Addition to the Disco list, how about adding the idiot who left the Starbucks coffee cup on the shot on Game of Thrones this week to the Disco list?
How great is that? How great is that?
That was great, right? You know, I heard
an explanation for that because I read a headline that said explanation given for Starbucks and I didn't even look at it.
Oh, it's hysterical. Because Daenerys ordered a something like a chai tea or something like that. The reason it was a mistake. She ordered a tea instead of a latte.
One of the producers or something said, like, hey, that happens all the time. It's just the first time we've been caught, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
The next one is from Zach Scholl.
Wait! You missed the email from this guy. The only reason I say so is because there's a picture in it.
Wait, I thought that was a picture. That was the email.
Oh no, he sent another picture.
He sent another picture?
Yeah. Oh, you must have missed this one. It's the one from
go ahead and read it.
Arthur.
Resend it to him because it's a picture.
No, you
right?
read it. Go ahead and read it, Joe.
So,
you got it right there.
Greetings, Conan, Disco, and K100 crew from Stockton, California. I'm a longtime fan of all your work and love listening to the best wrestling podcast every week, keeping it 100. I wanted to share some pictures from a wrestling show I attended in Daly City, California on March 30th, and I would love to hear your feedback. The show was put on by All Pro Wrestling, and SCU is a special guest wrestling Jacob Fatu in the Reno Scum in an action-packed main event. Had an opportunity to meet with SCU before the show, and I'd like to hear Disco's thoughts on my K100 sign that I took with me to the show. I wasn't sure if SCU would be willing to take a picture with the sign, but they definitely were quick to put my sign over. The Fallen Angel was quick to validate my sign by saying, "Oh hell yeah, fuck Disco, LOL." Does this pick put Keeping It 100 Hall of Famer Frank Kazarian on the Disco list? The third pick is with Disco list lifer Dave Meltzer, who was also in attendance. I'm not a huge Meltzer fan, rather, especially after he made my buddy and I wait to take a picture with him like he was doing us a favor. I will keep this short, but I will be emailing again really soon. Keep on keeping it 100. So here is the picture with the sign.
Conan rules, Disco sucks, keeping it 100.
Who's in the picture?
That's Frank Kazarian. That's very disrespectful. Why are they doing that? That's very disrespectful.
What's this guy's name?
Art Marriott from Stockton, Art California. Marriott.
That is very disrespectful.
And
very disrespectful.
I don't see the picture with Meltzer, so he must not have sent it. But yeah, so I just wanted to make sure that you saw that sign from a Southern California show that he attended with SCU there.
All right. Next one's from Zach Scholl. The subject is the Philly Impact Show meet and greet. What's up, fellas? I was the one guy at the Philly Impact Show meet and greet with the Iranian Tobacco. I know the mailbag procedures. We are not allowed to put JoJo over, but he did a good job. He hung out with us, and he was real cool. I have to put over the whole experience for other fans of the show that are thinking about doing it. Conan was mad cool as well, and Disco is even worse in person, and he is one of the last heels left. The biggest pops of the night received Disco get more heat than anyone, smoking Iranian Tobacco with Conan and LAX, and JoJo's dad asking Disco about Seth Rollins' knee. Your dad did ask me about Seth Rollins' knee, too.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. If you're a fan of the podcast thinking about doing meet and greet, it was definitely worth it to me. Boom.
Well, thank you very much, Zach, for putting us over and for being at the meet and greet and bringing some Iranian. Boom.
The next one, last one here, is from this is the Arthur Marriott one.
Okay, so yeah.
You already read it. That was the last one I had.
How was ridiculous was Philadelphia when we got there? There were black motorcycle gangs, and we went into a store, and it was like black motorcycle gang with whatever they call the girls, that hogs or whatever, black hogs. They had their hog glue. They were talking with the police at the store. Then we went to the hotel. There was another motorcycle gang there, but they were female black motorcycle gang members from Washington, D.C. Huh. Like, and the whole hotel, there must have been a convention or something, right?
Yeah, something like that. Something going on.
Is motorcycle gangs big in Philadelphia, Joe?
Yeah. The Warlocks.
Black
Pagans.
Motorcycle gangs?
I think you mentioned the one from D.C., but I know there's one from up in northern PA, too. That's a black motorcycle gang, yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. I'd never really seen an all-black motorcycle gang and female like that. And that's all I saw, you know. All right, so that's the letters. Back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.